Well, we're coming to the end of our series just on the window of Scripture. You know, we've just been wanting to just immerse ourselves in the Bible, to really get hold of why this book is so important, why it's so key, why it's so crucial to our life and what it can do as we just completely soak ourselves in it and immerse ourselves in it. And, you know, it was really fun last week to just to unpack how the Scripture that is just so consistent, that over thousands of years, that the consistency of the story to how we know God is there. And when we give the Bible that authority in our life, when we go, you know what, all the bits that I don't get, all the bits that don't seem to make sense to my culture and my society today, I know that, but I'm going to say yes to this word. I'm going to say yes, I believe it, and I'll see where this journey takes me. When we let that do that, it begins to have this power in our own life, a power to transform us. Not a power to then have a, you know, tell society how it should be and have a sense of importance and a sense of superiority, but actually a power to shift something in us and to transform us. And we develop this new relationship with God, not as a God who's just our creator, but a God who loves us and a God that we can know personally. And from that, things start to flow out to other people. So this whole window that we're seeing, using as the analogy for Scripture, it's not just then a window that kind of shines in on us and God, you know, kind of speaks into our world, but it also then again starts going out, and we get to see not just this tiny little, it's like we start sticking our head out the window. So rather than sitting back and, oh, that's a nice view, but actually we start sticking our head out and we look around a bit more and go, oh, this is the world. This is the people that God's talking about. These are the ones that he cares about and he loves. It's not just me. It's not just the people in my world, but it's actually everything else out there. And so we look beyond the window and we see God's view. And we discover then how we can be a part of it. And, you know, I think, well, what does that view look like? Like, if I stick my head out a little bit further, what does it actually look like? Well, it's a view of the kingdom of heaven. It's a view of the kingdom of God. You know, those two terms are used. And it's a view that Jesus encourages us to pray in. In Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13, you know, we know this. It's part of our Christian heritage, the prayer that Jesus gave us. He said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." We know that prayer. You know, it's prayed across churches, across the world, across, you know, denominations. It's a prayer that actually encapsulates who Jesus is. And who he's transforming us to be. So if we look back at that, and we go, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Like, that's about worship and honor. That Jesus is someone who is Lord, but he also honors and worships his Father. And it's something that we can learn to do as well. That in this space, in praying this prayer, that we can learn what it is to worship and honor God, to give him that rightful place in our world. And then we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Exactly. Absolutely, Di. Like, it's in us. And so, you know, we start to say, like Jesus saying, I want what I want what God wants, your kingdom come. Like, God, we want what you want in our world. Help it, like, bring it down. Let it be real. And we learn to trust when we say, give us today our daily bread. We learn to trust him that he cares about the bits and pieces of our life, that we can lean on him for those things, and we can trust him. And we can discover what forgiveness is, and we can learn to forgive others as well. That these are the things that, I mean, this is what Jesus lived out. This is what he displayed. This is what he died for. That comprehension that forgiveness is the key to our relationships with each other. It's the key to our relationship with God, and that flows to other people. You know, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Jesus is wanting us to discover what is good and what's not. And how did he do that? He used the scripture. When he was in that space in the wilderness, in the desert, what was it that led, you know, that kept him, that enabled him to rebuke the devil? It was scripture. And so Jesus is saying, you know, get it. Get it in you. Let that be in you so you know you can discern what is great and what's not. And so it's through this incredible book that we can start just unpacking how to know God through this window of scripture, and how to just be praying that prayer in our life, not just in church, but actually in our life. So the prayer becomes something that we live in our personal world and in our own day-to-day. Because when that starts to happen, we actually then become a part of the arrival of God's sovereign and saving heavenly rule on earth. Okay, they're not my words. That was N.T. Wright who would phrase that one. But it's basically saying we write ourselves into the story. Like, when we're doing that, when we start living that, we actually become part of the kingdom. We're praying down. We're not just asking God to do it. We're becoming a part of it. So in scripture, we observe and we get to know God. Plus, we get the opportunity to partner with him. So we don't just look on the sidelines and hope that it all happens nicely. We actually partner with him in this thing. And we start to partner in making all things new. We start to partner in what that heaven on earth will look like. We get the ball rolling, so to speak. We're not just going to wait till Jesus comes back. We're not just going to hope that, okay, well, he'll just wipe it all out and we'll start again. No, we're going to start now with him on earth, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And I don't actually have to worry about all the perspectives and challenges that the current that light might pose. Okay? So the reality of what I see in my world today is pretty bad. Like, that challenges me. Like, there's multiple perspectives and there's multiple current challenges, physically, everything happening in our world. It's not that I don't know that they're there. It's that the window of scripture helps me look beyond that. Not to get pinned down by that, not to be stifled by that, but to actually look beyond what is possible and what God wants to happen. I get to see through this incredible text the possibilities and the hope that God has for our world. And what are those possibilities? Like when I let God take control and when I start living out this prayer, what's the possibility? What could that end up looking like? So if we go back to our prayer, when Jesus says, pray that our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, it looks like worshipping and honouring God in every part of my world. That I start to put him higher above everything, and I actually really worship him. I start diminishing, you know, my own place in the world, or my own place in my head, and I start shifting that to be God. That actually, when the words that come out of my mouth are not why God, but thank you God that you are in control. Thank you that even though these things are happening, you are bigger than them, that you are greater than them, that you are worthy of my praise. And as I pray that your kingdom come, your will be done, that I actually begin to activate that. That I don't just pray that God does it, that I activate it and that I make it happen. I read in Luke this morning. I was just doing my reading and I read when Jesus feeds the 5,000. And the cool thing about that, which I'd not seen before, was just before he feeds all those people, he just sent out his disciples. He'd sent them out to the villages and he said, don't take anything with you, you know, go and give the message to the villages. And he gave them power to do miracles and healings. And they just got back and they were all excited. He said, when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they'd done. So it had worked. Like that, obviously, they'd healed people, they'd seen miracles, they'd been provided for, people had, you know, looked after them, and they were excited, and they were telling Jesus. And so then, you know, Jesus kind of like, okay, let's go and talk about this, let's go and debrief. But in the debrief, everyone else came along too. And they ended up, and there was this no food, and there were a lot of people. And Jesus says to his disciples, he said, you feed them. I mean, they just told him everything that had happened. And he'd gone, and he just said, okay, show me. Let's go for it. You feed them. Well, they didn't do it. Because suddenly, Jesus was back, and it wasn't their job. And they kind of thought, I can't do that. Like, did suddenly Jesus take back all his power from them? I don't know. He gave them the ability to do amazing things. Did he suddenly just kind of whip it back and say, can't have that? When he asked them to try and do something ridiculous? I suspect they just thought, oh, God's back in the room. He'll fix it. Do we do that too? Like when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do we kind of go, oh, Jesus will fix that when he comes back? Or do we start to activate the things that he's enabled us to do? Like when he's given us the Holy Spirit inside of us, do we start to go, that's real. I can actually pray for someone to be healed. I can actually pray that provision would happen. I can actually pray that wars would cease. I can actually pray. I can pray for the world around me. I can actually do that. And we can start activating what his kingdom is like in our world. And we pray, give us today our daily bread. And so we learn to trust. But then we don't just trust him. We actually go beyond that and we start giving out too. Because he is generous to us. We don't just go, I'm okay, God's going to look after me. It's all good, I'm a Christian. But no, in my trust, I start going, I'll just kind of push it out there a little bit. And out of the blessing that I've received, I'm going to push that out to the people around me. Whether or not they realize it, whether or not they deserve it, that's beside the point, because I probably don't deserve it. But I'm going to do it anyway. And so we start putting it out there, like, you know, our incredible team doing the community meal, just putting it out there. Have a go at being generous with what we've been given. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so I initiate forgiveness. I don't wait for someone to say sorry to me, but I actually start to initiate it. And I start to make that happen in every part of my world. And so when I get hurt by things, or when things have been, I've been wronged by things that are wrong, I don't wait for someone to have a realization that that's wrong, but I actually just step out there, and in my heart, whether or not I can say it verbally, I don't know, but I just, in here, I initiate forgiveness to those people, whether I know them personally or whether it's just a bigger, you know, a greater wrong that's been done to me. But I learn to go, I forgive. Speak that in my heart. And actually initiate that. And so then as we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I practically and personally start to reject things that go against God and advocate for things that are for him. That I don't just ask God to, you know, to help me in that space, but I actually then step into it. And actually, when he gives me a conviction of something, he gives me a conviction that something might not be so great for me, that I then step into that place and act on it. And when I get a conviction that something really needs to be, someone needs to be stood up for, and something is really important, that I don't just hold back and go, someone else will deal with it, but I actually step into that place and I stick up for that person. Or I come alongside that person, or I speak out. So this prayer that Jesus wants us to pray, that he teaches us to pray, it doesn't just become something that we want God to do, that it's something that we actually become part of, to bring his heaven to earth. There is a guy, he was called the Bishop of Hippo. I think I'd like that title. In 354 AD, his name was St. Augustine. These ones are my words, because his were a bit old. said, whoever thinks that they understand the Bible, or a bit of it, but doesn't love God and love people, doesn't actually understand it properly. Like he said, if you've got this Bible, but the end result is not that you love God and love people, then you kind of missed it. So this word doesn't become a place where then we can condemn people, we can be righteous over people, we can hammer people. The purpose of this word is that we love God, that we read this and we go, oh my goodness, God, you are amazing. And then from that place, though, we love his people. And our hearts break open for his people around us. Not in condemnation, but in love. And getting to know this word, getting to know God, should result in action. that becomes an outward thing. It's not stuck inside of us and something we just contemplate in our quiet time, but it actually gets put into action. That love God and love people is what Jesus said was the most important thing in this. He said, love the Lord your God in Matthew 22 with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So as you know him, like love him more. Like love him. Get to know him with your heart and your soul and your mind. And love him. He said that's the first and the greatest commandment. And then Jesus said the second one's like it. He said love your neighbor as yourself. So as we get to know God in this book, we love him and then we imitate him. We love our neighbor as ourself. We love the person next to us as we love ourselves. As God loves us, as he loves himself. Like, you know, how God is love, the Trinity, the threesome, that like they are love together. They are what it is. And outside of that, out of that, then they love. And he's asking it the same for us, like from who you are, the person that you are, as you get to know me, as you come into relationship with me, as you're brought into this relationship of love with God, then from that comes love for people. And that's the framework that we see in the kingdom of heaven. When we want to know what it looks like, that's what we see. That's the culmination of all this life on earth, you know, the kingdom of heaven coming back again. It's partnering with God to make that happen. It's starting the process now, not waiting for it in the end. And, you know, Revelation 7 says that it's that in that is going to be represented every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every people, every language, like all of that. Everyone is going to be represented in that place. And this picture, like this gets me excited. So this is the picture that John saw in Revelation of the new heaven and the new earth. So picture this, Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he said also, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. That's so cool. Like, that excites me. That, like, that's somewhere down the track. Like, I don't know when the whole and how that's going to look. Like, that's just, it doesn't make sense in my practical mind. But what does make sense is that these things in here, we can start now. And God's asking us to start now. Okay, we can't get Jerusalem to come down from heaven. We can't do that part. And we don't know what God means by that. It's different. It's different to the old covenant. It's something completely new. But what I do know is that I can be part of wiping away every tear. I can be part of helping with no more sorrow and crying. That I can be part of showing people what it looks like for God to be among his people. That I can be activating that. And so as we embrace this book, as we grab hold of it this, you know, this year, we fall in love with it again and again. I just have that little picture of the window in your head. Let it sort of make your own worldview a bit uncomfortable. Let it challenge that, the way that you see the world, the way that you've always kind of dealt with things. Let the Bible challenge that. Don't be so set in your ways. Let God challenge it. And as he challenges it, just start letting his light shine in and see where it can keep working at transforming and shifting and changing. Like, we've all got work to be done. I'm not quite sure any of us are there yet. I'm certainly not there. I need God to keep pointing things out in me, to keep just tweaking stuff, working on me. And then I need to keep getting a vision of what it's going to look like. Not get stuck with where things are, but keep remembering the hope of what it will be. Of being able to bring that into my world and activating it. The process of bringing heaven to earth. And in the middle of that I just continue to worship him and honor him and glorify him in this space. Do you want to pop up? Sorry, I completely forgot about that. I am excited by this year. And I'm excited that it's not impractical. It's not out of our reach. That the most amazing part of the Bible is that it shows us that it can happen. It shows us that through Jesus, things can be different. That when we choose to give up the way we want to do things and our own view of the world, and when we actually truly take on him as our Lord and our Savior, when we truly worship him, when we truly, what we call surrender, like give up everything that I want and let him take over, then like anything's possible. And I know the things that I know why it's not possible in my life. I know why it doesn't always work, because I don't surrender, because you know I have a grudge and I want to hold it. Or because I think that that's impossible to pray that. Like, why? Why would God heal that? Like, I can't make that person better. You know? But when we just kind of come under his lordship and actually trust him that this word actually changes us and makes a difference, then anything is possible. So this morning, just as we're here and, you know, just got eyes closed, I just want to pray for us as we launch into reading this together, getting a grip on the whole of the scripture, albeit a brief framework over the year. That as we go along, that we will learn what surrender looks like in our own world. That we will be open to letting God be God in our world. And that we'll be keeping our eyes looking up to seeing what it could happen. What he wants, what that kingdom of heaven on earth might just look like if I just activate that in this part or this part of my world. So I'm actually going to ask you to do something crazy. Like when we, if we surrender, you know, we kind of just like, we go, okay, not me, but you. So if this year you'd like to just learn how to do that more and more in your world, I just encourage you, just sitting in your chairs, just close your eyes and just open your arms, your palms to God, just as an indication to Him that you just give yourself. You want to open yourself to His leading, to His teaching, to His word this year. And I'll just pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this word. We thank you for the Bible, for the scriptures, Lord God. We thank you that this is the way you chose to reveal yourself to us today. That everything wrapped up in this word is about you, your Son, the Holy Spirit. It's about knowing you. And in that space, then, we learn how to love other people as well. Well, God, just help us to surrender our lives to you this year, particularly as we go deeper in your word. Help us to see where you're touching us, putting your finger on things in us personally, so that out of that, we can partner with you and we can be your people bringing heaven to earth. Thank you for inviting us to do this. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.